Grace and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Did anyone else feel just a little beaten down by the law in all of our readings today? All the readings were law. And I won't lie to you, our gospel reading today, the text for the sermon, particularly the first half through verse 39, is no different. It is definitely not an easy passage. Jesus pushes us here to re-examine our priorities and to question just where your loyalties lie. Many people think that Christianity should unite us with others, that Christianity should make everything better, the nation, the family, the self. Many people think that the moment you become a Christian, your life should become amazing. Well, unfortunately, that is just not the case, or at least not according to Jesus. And if we're going to listen to anyone on this, we should probably listen to Jesus. In verses 34 through 39 of our reading, Jesus goes down the list and challenges us and tells us that Christianity forces you to re-examine your loyalties on every single front. Are you loyal to something else, or are you loyal to Him? Verse 34 starts us off on the broadest possible front by looking at the entire earth. You think that I have come to bring a peace on the earth? I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. So as a Christian, are you loyal to the state or nation in which you live? Yes. Peter and Paul both tell us to honor the emperor or to honor those who are in authority, obey those who are in authority because he does not bear the sword in vain, but he is a messenger of God sent by him to execute justice on the earth. This applies regardless of the personal merits of the one in authority. When Paul wrote Romans chapter 13, when Peter wrote 1 Peter, who was the Roman emperor about whom they were writing? Nero. Who martyred both Peter and Paul? Nero. Regardless of who the leader is, whether you think he's a David or a Caligula, you are to obey him or her because he has authority from God, as Paul says in Romans chapter 13. All those in authority are placed there by God. The fourth commandment says, honor your father and your mother, but that applies to more than just your parents. That applies to anyone who is in authority. And that includes whoever's the president, that includes whoever is an elected official, that includes our state and nation. And so a good Christian is to honor all of those whom God has placed in authority. And yet, is the Christian's loyalty to state or nation our greatest loyalty? No, absolutely not. Political leaders themselves owe a responsibility to God to govern according to God's will. God is the one who places them there. God is the one who is in authority over them. And so they owe their loyalty, or they owe a responsibility to God who placed them there. Now, this doesn't mean that we are looking at a theocracy where the church or God himself is the direct ruler. That isn't necessary or necessarily a good thing. This doesn't mean that the president has to be Christian. But this does mean that politicians are to govern according to God's law. The Ten Commandments are not optional for anyone, whether you are in the government or not. And so when the government is leading in a way which aligns with God's will, that is when Christ brings peace on earth. When the government is leading in a way that opposes God's will, that opposes the cross, that is when Christ does not bring peace. And so, Christians are both the most loyal and most conflicted citizens of their nation. Loyalty to the nation, love of the nation, all of this is, in a sense, loyalty to God as our King, because He placed that over us. And yet at the same time, it is absolutely not. God is our Lord. Our final loyalty, our final ruler is Him and not any of His deputies on earth. Remember Peter's words in Acts 5, verse 29, when he is talking to the political religious leaders of his people, and he says, "We must obey God rather than man." Our ultimate loyalty is God. In the event of conflict between God's word and what any political leader says, God's word prevails. And so our loyalty to earthly rulers is not greater than that to our heavenly ruler. That's fine. DC is pretty far away after all. But then when we go on to verses 35 through 37, Jesus then challenges us to examine those who are closest to us in our family. It says, "I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A person's enemies will be those of his own household." And so, does a Christian love his family? Absolutely. Your family is a gift from God. And so God has given you a family, people who love you and care about you. In the fourth commandment, God tells us to honor your father and mother, those who have raised you, your parents. The fifth commandment compels you to help your family and provide for their physical needs. Paul tells us over and over again that a man is to love and protect his wife, a wife is to love and honor her husband. Family, love, and loyalty is a good thing. Parents are to provide for their children, and children are to honor their parents. And yet, if and when there is a conflict between your family and your faith, which one wins out? If you have to choose between your wife and your faith, which one do you choose? If your parents threaten to kick you out of the house because you became a Christian, what do you do? If someone, perhaps in the government, threatens to murder your child if you do not denounce your faith, what do you do? This isn't a hypothetical scenario. All of these scenarios actually happen and have actually happened to our brothers and sisters around the world, having their family threatened or having their faith threatened by their family for being Christian. This is not a hypothetical. And so Christians both love and prioritize their family, and yet they also place God above those other concerns. Loving your family is a godly thing. And yet at the same time, when push comes to shove, in whatever form it takes, the more important love is your love for Christ. when he was faced with this choice of renouncing his faith or defending his faith and being separated from his wife, Richard Wurmbrand, the founder of Voice of the Martyrs, chose to speak the gospel instead of the Communist Party line, knowing that it would mean him being arrested, probably his wife being arrested, and even knowing this, his wife told him that if he didn't take the opportunity to preach the gospel, he was not the man she married. Your faith is more important than your national and family love. But then Jesus drives the point home even further in verses 38 and 39. What about the one person who is closer to you than anyone else? What about yourself? Now, is your life a good thing? Absolutely. God gave you life. It is a gift from God. Your life is important. It is valuable to God. And your life has meaning to God. God created you because he loves you. He provides everything you need in this life because he loves you. He sends you the Holy Spirit because he loves you. And so your life is intrinsically, inherently good to God. Sin and its effects does not obviate that. And yet, is your life simply yours to do with as you wish? No. You have life from God in order that you may serve him with that life which he has given to you. Your life came from God, and so he is the one who gives meaning to your life. When we talk about the taking up your cross and following Jesus, this means obeying God's will and purpose for your life, not your own desires, not your own ambitions, not whatever you want. All of that is subservient to God's intent, God's path for your life. Now, for Jesus, this meant his perfect sinless life and his perfect sinless death on an actual cross. For you, this may not be so literal as to carry a literal cross on which you are to be literally crucified. But that is a very real possibility with which all Christians must come to terms. So when your life is asked of you because of your faith in Christ, what is your answer? And so where does your ultimate loyalty lie? Does it lie with your nation? Does it lie with your family? Does it even lie with yourself? All of these things are inherently good, and they are all given to you by God. Yet all of these things are less than the one who gave them to you. A Christian's greatest loyalty can only be to God. But then what else would we expect? When we look at Christ, we see the same of him. The religious leaders demanded that he recant and be silent on his message of salvation by faith in him alone, if he would not obey them at the cost of his obedience to God. When his family thought that he was absolutely crazy and tried to shut him away, he stayed the course. When God's will meant giving up his life on the cross as the perfect ransom for us, he did not seek after his own life. He took up his cross. He followed his Father's will. He lost his life to gain our life for us. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting as we take up our cross and follow him. Amen.